The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, if odds are pretty good, you did not watch President Biden last night on his CNN town hall. And believe me, this is just where I'm... I watch this stuff and my flesh just wants to rip into the guy and laugh and make jokes. There's really nothing funny about the condition of our president and his lack of mental acuity. And it's like watching somebody that's, you know, it's a family. It's like watching somebody in your family, you know, that they're just not there. They're not all there. They're just kind of starting to lose their marbles, and which sounds terrible, I know, but that's what's going on. So he had his town hall with Anderson Cooper last night on CNN. CNN desperately. The last president that's going to help CNN is the current president. The last president is what kept CNN in the black for 5 years during the run-up to the election, during the Republican primary, and then, of course, during all four election years, and two impeachments, and then the mess at the Capitol and the post-election mess and all the other stuff. Donald Trump was just a gift to CNN. Really, that was their, he was their lifesaver. He was their life support system. And as soon as he was out of there and January 6th slowed down, then they just, you know, down, the, they're just crash and burn. So last night they had from 8 to 9:30 p.m. a whopping 1.2 million viewers. 1.2 million viewers on CNN to watch the president. Fox News Channel at the same time, the same period of time, had 2.8 million viewers. And even MSNBC beat out CNN. They had 1.4 million viewers. And neither Fox nor MSNBC had the president of the United States in a town hall meeting. And there's three clips I want to play for you and react to. The first one's the most infuriating, so I can just get it out of my system. And we can move on. Then several other things and one really good news story. One story out of the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill for all you white-handed. See, look at that. That was hilarious. It's actually right-handed privilege, but we're so conditioned now in this country. That's why I said white-handed privilege. It's actually right-handed privilege, which I'm sure at some point it's all the same. So we're going to make victims out of you lefties out there. By the way, you represent 1/10 of the Earth's population. 90% of us privileged folks, are right-handed, waving my right hand, and only 10% of us, you lefties, are out in the cold. So in a class at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, actually talking about right-handed privilege. And odds are the vast majority of the right-handed privileged people are also white privileged people. But I digress. So a bunch of different stories. And then I saw Dune earlier today. So I want to talk about that before I finish the show. But let's get to these Joe Biden clips. Are you ready, Joshua? All right, let's do the freedom one. He was talking to Anderson Cooper on CNN on the exciting town hall last night. And it came up about the unvaccinated people, you unvaxxed murderers out there. And so just listen to this, and this kind of rolls into freedom, which is ridiculous, but let's play this from the president last night.
The two things that concern me, one are those who just try to make this a political issue, freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID. No, I mean, come on, freedom.
I mean, come on, man, freedom? I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID. This is the sitting president of the United States having a laugh about freedom and the freedom to kill you. I have the freedom to kill you. So if you're unvaccinated in the president of the United States' mind, you're a killer, which I would assume probably he would not have a problem with Merrick Garland, the current attorney general of the United States, sending the letter to the FBI, which then, of course, went out to the DOJ, about all these troublesome people who are threatening, intimidating, and harassing our great school members, teachers and school board members, stuff like that. Of course, they see right-minded people or people that love freedom or people that just want to do what they want to do as the enemy. Because freedom is the enemy of these leftists. It just is. They have no interest in freedom. They have interest in control. And so that's why, so for the president to say, literally just said to all of you and me, the unvaccinated, that the way we look at freedom is we just have the freedom to go out and kill people. Even though, sir, 99.9% of everybody that gets COVID survives COVID. So I'm not a very effective killer, apparently. And now we know that getting the vaccine does not stop the spread. You can get vaccinated and carry a high viral load of COVID and spread it. So vaxxed, unvaxxed can both spread it. Now, is there a difference between? Well, now we're looking at numbers and statistics coming out of Israel and Great Britain that says that the vaccinated people actually can carry a higher viral load than unvaccinated. And then all you natural immunity people out there, me being one of them, I don't know. We must be murderers of another color. But just so the president of the United States mocking and calling you a murderer, essentially, if you're unvaccinated. You have the freedom to go out and kill people. This coming from a pro-choice person, by the way. And then just laughing at the notion of freedom in general. Freedom. Come on, man. I mean, this is... I really can't overstate this. That the president of the United States uses freedom as a punchline and then accuses unvaccinated people, and you're unvaccinated for whatever reason you have, could be the fact that fetal cell tissue was used in the development of all three vaccines. It's not used in the production of the vaccines, but it was used in the development of it. Or perhaps you just feel like you're a steward of your body, or you've got a medical condition, some other things, and your doctor said, no, you shouldn't get the vaccine. Whatever the case may be, he doesn't care. If you don't get it, you just want the freedom to kill your neighbor. So, especially you Christians who talk about loving your neighbor, that's just so disgusting. And again, I think this is, I read a long article last week, I mentioned it a couple times on the air, that said, you know, we sit there and say, you know, who's actually running the executive branch? Who's actually the president? Who's actually in charge up there? And off the bat, most of us will say, well, it's definitely not Joe Biden. Well, I read a great article last week that's like, yeah, you know what? It's mostly Joe Biden, because this is actually who Joe Biden is. But now he's got to the top of the heap and he can reveal exactly who he is now that he got there. And he is this progressive. He is this radical. Plus, he's obviously starting to lose his marbles, which is no laughing matter, whether he's the president of the United States or not. A couple more clips from the president when we come back right after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. A special welcome to all you unvaccinated killers out there. At least that according to the president. And listen, it's not like I run around all day just trying to figure out ways to rip into the president. I wish he weren't doing this poorly. I wish he weren't having problems personally with his mental acuity. I wish he were doing a great job. I really do, because it affects all 330 plus million of us. But he's not. This is a train wreck in so many different ways. And it's sad to watch. And kind of pathetic. And I mean, it's just unbelievable when you watch this. And then I'm playing three clips from his town hall thing on CNN last night. And the first one we played where he's like, freedom, you know, the freedom to go out and kill people, talking about unvaccinated people. So if you're an unvaccinated person, when you talk about freedom, you really just want the freedom to go out and kill people. And he laughed about it. To this president, freedom is a punchline. All right. This isn't new Joe Biden, by the way. This is just Joe Biden once he's ascended to the top of the heap and he no longer has to play a game to get there. Once you're there, you can reveal who you are, and this is who he is. He's this liberal. He's this radical. So we pray for the guy, right? Let's pray for him right now, as a matter of fact. Let's put some feet to our faith. Let's just not talk about praying for the president. Let's actually do it together. Father God, we come to you, Lord, to just thank you that you're sovereign over everything, including the government, including the president, including every situation in our lives. And I just want to lift up our president to you, Lord, for wisdom, for your intervention in his life. I pray for his health, for his mental health, Lord. I pray for you to get some of your men and women into that room with him, Lord, to minister to him and care for him. Lord, I pray that he can hear the gospel. It doesn't appear that he's ever really been born again. So I pray for that over the president. Just pray that you would help him. And bless him and change his life, Lord. and help him to be a president that would be pleasing in your sight. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so that one. Let's go to the border one. And we got that one ready to go, Josh? So he's asking about if you're ever going to go down to the border, right? This is Anderson Cooper playing hardball, okay? This is President Biden, last night, CNN Town Hall. Let's go.
Do you have plans to visit the southern border?
I've been there before, and I haven't. I mean, I know it well. I guess I should go down, but the whole point of it is I haven't had a whole hell of a lot of time to get down. I've been spending time going around looking at the $900 billion worth of damage done by hurricanes and floods and weather and traveling around the world. I plan on now. Yeah. My wife Jill has been down. She's been on both sides of the river.
Of
she's seen the circumstances.
Jill's been
there.
Down there. So what? She's not the president, at least as far as we know. But yeah, I've been down there. I know it well. Really? You're from Scranton. What are you talking about? You know it well. And did you hear the other part? This is where this gets really scary. I suppose I should go down there. That's like, oh, they don't want me to answer any questions. Oh, I'll get in trouble if I start answering. When's the last time a president was that meandering and just kind of weak? Yeah, I suppose I should get down there. And he doesn't even think about the fact that he just said that. Yeah, I've been down there before. Yeah, I know it well. Really? No, you don't. I've been spending all my time visiting, hurricane and flood damage. That was 2 days that took. And a flyover and a couple of visits and some photo ops and you're out of there back to the White House or back up to Delaware to one of your three or four houses. And so that's ridiculous. But the fact that he just said it, I suppose I should probably go down there. Listen, if I worked at a retail store and the manager were like that, I'd be nervous. If I worked at a really big company, Fortune 500, I'd be like, this is incompetence. Where's the board of directors? What do the stockholders know anything about this? But the president of the United States? Wow. That's crazy. All right, one more. It's all I can take. Let's go to the gas price one because we're all getting hammered at the gas pump. And have you seen those little stickers, by the way? The little picture of Joe Biden with his little finger pointing and people sticking them on the gas pump right by the price. It says, hey, I did that. Something like that. It's kind of cute. So that's out there. So let's run this clip. This is the gas prices clip. And Anderson's trying to see if the president's got any answers for us on the gas price problem.
Anyway, so I don't have a near-term answer. There's two things I could do. I could go in the petroleum reserve and take out and probably reduce the price of gas maybe 18 cents or so a gallon. It's still going to be above $3. Yeah. And one of the things that I refused to have happen because I didn't want anybody, I made a commitment, if you pass the stuff I'm talking about, not one single penny in tax would go against anybody making less than $400,000.
Okay, that's enough.
And so if you notice, these highway bills are not paid for by...
Go ahead and cut it. Here's the answer, sir. Let us produce. That's the answer, sir. Just get in the Wayback Machine, go back 12 months, look at the Trump administration, as hard as that would be. Look at the Trump administration. Look at what they were doing on the energy side. And look at the fact that we were energy independent for the first time in decades. And just do the same thing. Except you can't do that because you're part of the new Green Deal. You think we're all going to be flooded out in the next 10 years. And the earth can't handle it. And God can't handle it. Nothing can handle it. And so we need to shut everything down. And everybody needs to be driving electric cars in the next 10 years. Which, by the way, when you plug your electric car in, where do you get that energy? Oh, that's right. Fossil fuels. Okay, by the way, he did that a bunch of times last night. When he just starts whispering. I don't get that. I don't understand what the point. But I don't know why he does it. But he likes to do that. And it's just kind of strange and creepy. Oh, by the way, on the COVID vaccine thing. To the president's point that you unvaccinated people you just want freedom to go out there and kill people. Over 12,000 active duty Air Force personnel are poised not to meet an upcoming deadline to be fully vaccinated against the virus that causes COVID-19, according to newly released data from the military branch. Fully vaccinated means an airman must get the second dose of the Pfizer or Moderna jab or the single-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine no later than 2 weeks before the November 2nd mandate deadline. By the way, did you hear recently that the efficacy of these is plummeting down into the single digits after like 6 months? Probably haven't heard that before. You need to pay attention to all this stuff. Okay, all of it. And I'm not telling you not to get the vaccine. Pray about it. Talk to your doctor about it. That's between you and the Lord and your doctor and your spouse, your family, whatever. I'm not telling you to do it or not to do it. I'm just telling you, consider more than one narrative. That's what I've been doing. And I'm not vaccinated, although I do have antibodies. Thank you, God, for your design. Some 92% are fully vaccinated, while another 4.5% are partially vaccinated, a term that means they've gotten one of the two shots. But that leaves over 12,000 unvaccinated and at risk of being discharged for noncompliance with the order if they don't secure a religious or medical exemption. At least they have that option. Personnel who fail to comply with the order face disciplinary measures, including non-judicial punishment and court-martial charges. That is a government and a commander-in-chief that are totally out of control. Totally out of control. It's just remarkable to me. And it happened so quickly. And, of course, you only have to go back, what, 6 months? Fauci, Pelosi, Biden himself. No, vaccine mandates. No, we're not going to do that. Then you start losing some of your power. This is all about power and control, friends. It always has been. It's all about power and control. For some, power and control and cash, because there's a whole lot of cash. If you can create a demand, and then you satisfy the demand, and you can rig the demand anytime you want and sell more and satisfy more of the demand, that's a pretty good business model. I mean, get me in on that. Pfizer or Moderna stock, perhaps. So that's, you just have to be skeptical, and don't just take one narrative, whether it's from the right or to the left. Both sides are selling. Both sides are manipulating. Both sides are moving their narrative. And if you're a Christian, then your allegiance should be to the truth, not ultimately to the right or the left, but to the truth. Now, that's getting harder to discern and find, but discern and find it we must as people that are of the way, the truth. So don't just take one narrative, whether it's coming from the White House or Fox News. We have to look at all of them, use wisdom and discernment to find our way through. We'll be right back. Man, let me just tell you about this song. That's Chris Tomlin. The first time I heard this song, I didn't hear Chris Tomlin singing. I didn't hear it on the radio or anything. I heard it at a men's ministry, a men's event at First Baptist Woodstock outside of Atlanta. That was, I can't remember the pastor's name. Big deal in the Southern Baptist world. He's actually a part or fully Lumbee Indian. I can't remember his name. Powerful preacher, great preacher, huge church, like 7,000 seats, right? So a good friend of mine, Dr. Bob Record, who was president of North American Mission Board, fabulous pastor, great speaker, great man of God. And I got to know him pretty early on when I started to do stuff out in the public, 2005, 2006. And we used to speak a little together because he was, 15, 20 years. He's probably 15 years older than me. And he had been a pastor and everything. So we did him. He was like the view from the pulpit and I was the view from the pew. Older, younger. So we would kind of go point counterpoint and we would speak. And so we went down there at Johnny Hunt. That's his name. First Baptist Woodstock. Then they did this men's weekend, 2 weekends in a row because it was so huge. And you'd get like 6,000 guys there. So Bob went to that church, and so he got us on the platform. So we spoke 2 weekends in a row. We spoke at a breakout session, but the breakout session, I'm like, oh, it's most people left. It was still like 2,000 people, which was it's somewhat intimidating. But that first night was the first time I ever heard that song. So imagine being in there with 6,000 guys, an incredible band, and you're singing Worthy is the Lamb. I will never forget that. Yeah, Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. It was just awesome. So, and one day we'll do that with millions and millions and millions of people, if not hundreds of millions and maybe a billion. We'll see when we get there. Thank you, Lord. Okay, some good news for a change. This is good for now. SCOTUS, that's Supreme Court of the United States, in case you didn't catch that. SCOTUS declines to halt Texas pro-life law, sets date for review of 2 cases challenging the rule. On Friday, being today, the Supreme Court declined to halt a Texas pro-life law, but agreed to give 2 cases regarding challenges to the law expedited review with oral arguments set for Monday, November 1st. So this is all heating up quickly. We do not know. I have no idea what the current Supreme Court's going to do with these abortion issues. There's some big cases that they're hearing, okay? This one, the Texas one, and Mississippi as well. So the fact that they didn't stop it not once but twice now is at least encouraging. So this is a story that just came out earlier today. As Politico previously reported, Texas on yesterday, urged the Supreme Court to turn away a Biden administration effort to halt enforcement of the state's six-week abortion ban, but broached the possibility that justice could also opt to use the matter to more broadly consider decades-old precedents affirming abortion rights. I wish they would. Pray about that. As the Daily Wire reported earlier this week, the Biden administration's Justice Department officially asked the Supreme Court to weigh in on Texas's pro-life law yet again and temporarily halt the law while legal actions continue because we're all in support of killing babies. When God is no longer God and government becomes God, everything gets flipped upside down and inside out. And on this subject, it has been since 73. And by the way, abortion didn't start in America. The Romans were doing abortions way back when, okay? As reported in the New York Times, the court signaled that it may act quickly. Justice Samuel Alito, who oversees the federal appeals court responsible for Texas, asked officials there to file their response to the Justice Department's application by Thursday at noon. The court ruled in the following days. The Justice Department's brief stated that the law is clearly unconstitutional. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That was passed in 1973. And like the Dred Scott decision, it was horrible, horrific. It needs to be overturned. The brief also requested that the high court go around the appeals court and take it on as a case this year. Texas Heartbeat Act effectively outlaws abortion after the sixth week of pregnancy when fetal cardiac activity can be detected. As the Daily Wire previously reported, the Texas law allows citizens to sue abortion providers and those who aid and abet illegal procedures for a financial reward if the lawsuit is successful. The Biden administration has attempted to block the law, kid, of course, because that's their golden calf. That's their golden cow. They're so tied to it. Their allegiance is unflappable. They're not going to stop. They're just not. Here we go. I saw this one the other day. I'm like, come on, this can't be true. But it is. And it's local. University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. For all you Tar Heel fans, and especially all you Tar Heel parents, anybody that's putting money into the Tar Heel system specifically. But in UNC, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. So there's this teacher, and she's in front of the big screen in the lecture hall, and you look at the screen, and up there on the screen it says right-handed privilege. Not white-handed, but right, R-I-G-H-T, right-handed privilege. So all you righties out there, lift up your privileged right hand. For most of you, it's probably a white hand, but that's a side issue. Put up your privileged right hand, and here's the list. It's easier, and it makes life easier. You have a sense of belonging. You fit in. The world is organized for right-handers. You have more access. You have more opportunity. And you have more advantage. All you right-handed privileged people. So again, just to reiterate, if you're right-handed, it's easier. It makes life easier. To which I say, praise the Lord. There's a sense of belonging to fit in. I don't really have any conversations with people. Hey, you're right-handed too? Awesome. Put it there, pal. The world is organized for right-handers. Yeah, in a lot of ways. You have more access, I guess. Toilet paper's on the right side, right? More opportunity. I don't know. Left-handed ball players make a boatload of money. And more advantages. Okay, I'm with you there. Okay, so why? What kind of a heartless, cruel society? Obviously, don't love your neighbor. Thanks, Carla, for the left-handed high five. Beautiful. Good job. And they had the left-handed power signal on the screen, by the way. University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, an esteemed institution. Aren't you glad that you sent your kids here to learn this important stuff? All right, here's the deal. Class, little quiz, pop quiz for everybody. Yeah, Steve, you're awfully snarky. Well, it's Friday. What percentage of the world's human race... I'm not saying male and female because I don't want to offend anybody. What percentage of the human race is right-handed? Okay, all my friends on Facebook Live, go. Just guess. What's your guess? What percent? Don't Google it. Anybody out there in Radio Land, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, what percentage of the human race is right-handed? Don't look it up. Don't cheat. Just guess. So I'm waiting for my friends on Facebook Live to start throwing some answers up there. What do you guys think? What percentage of the world is right-handed? Catherine, 85%, 79%. Somebody's going to start playing prices right. Carla says 60%. Vance says 90%. 86%, 85%. 90%, 90%, ding, 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 ding. Give yourself a right-handed pat on the back, friends. It's 90%. 90% of the world's population is right-handed. So if you're going to design a world, the physicality of the world, and 90% of your people are right-handed and only 10% are left-handed, just to be logical and efficient, which way are you going to tilt that? That would be to the right. Exactly, right? Now, if you're left-handed, left-handed people are interesting. Our son, one of our sons is left-handed. I think left-handed people are interesting. I feel sorry for you because the world is just so cruel and heartless, and I'm sorry, I guess. But left-handed people are like redheads. I'm a redhead, right? We're the smallest minority in the world. So I think that's cool. But in this case, right-handed privilege? What about two-armed privilege? What about two-legged privilege? What about 10 fingers privilege or 10 toes privilege? What about two eyes privilege? What about that? Why do they have to create all these subclasses of victims? It's victimology. What's up with that? What do you think's behind that? Why do we have to create victims? Because, I'm going to go all spiritual on you, because human beings desire to be valued. And if you don't feel valued and you don't want to bow the knee at your creator who created you in his image and then proved how much he loved you when he died for you on a cross 2,000 years ago, if you don't want to go there, because with that truth comes a standard. With God and his son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit comes a standard of perfect holiness. And we just don't like that. That's just too much baggage for me. So forget that. I don't want that. So I'm going to suppress that truth. I'm going to replace it with a lie. So I'm going to feel good about myself. I want everybody else to feel good about me. That's where I'm going to establish my self-worth. And so if I'm a victim, then I'm going to get more attention and I can feel special. And the really sad part of this is you are special. You're special. I'm special. The right-handed person is special. The left-handed person is special. Black, brown, Asian, Hispanic, Hawaiian, white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant. You're all special. Smart, not so smart, good-looking, not so good-looking, tall, short, fat, skinny, talented, not talented, average, incredible, handicapped, all have incredible, eternal value. That's the sanctity of human life, because they're all made in God's image. Remember that. Don't look for your value from the world.
I used to live like I was under attack, dialed the arrows from my past. I had no hope for tomorrow.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. By the way, you can join us right here in my Star Wars themed studio on Facebook Live when Facebook's not dialing us down, or on YouTube Live before they pull it, because they pull it like every other day. So it's just unbelievable. But you can jump right here in the studio, or you're listening on the radio. That's awesome. A lot of us don't live by live schedules anymore, so what time a program's on becomes irrelevant for the most part. You listen to what you want to when you want to. So we have an answer for that as well, and that's the podcast. So the show every day is put up on podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, all the biggies are all on there. Just look it up under the Steve Noble Show, N-O-B-L-E, or right here on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, and you can check that out. By the way, yesterday's show needs to be shared by all of us. Forget that I'm the host, my name's on it, forget it. That's not what matters. What matters is the content from yesterday's Theology Thursday. That was Jim Berg, who's a professor of biblical counseling at Bob Jones University with Theology Thursday, and it was the theology of addiction. And the world is, and many professionals in the secular world on that issue are starting to come around going, yeah, you know what, this really comes back to matters of the heart and the way you're reacting to circumstances in your life, and then your brain is following your heart, and then your body follows after that, and then you rewire your body, and then all the other stuff that's true of addictive materials, including pornography, all gets in play. But what starts it? What starts it, it's the matter of the heart. And it's just one of the most powerful conversations I've ever been involved in on the issue of addiction. And I know lots of people need to hear it, whether it's drugs, alcohol, pornography, whatever the case may be. So please share yesterday's show. I just put it up on Facebook Live. I just linked to it. You can go to Facebook Live or YouTube, our YouTube channel, and pull it from yesterday. You can grab the podcast and share it that way. But let's get that out there. There's some great resources there, just a great biblical look at addiction, which is a much bigger problem than we care to admit. So make sure you do that. That would be a blessing to somebody I know for sure. Okay, speaking of social media, did you hear this? To quote Rush Limbaugh, Trump announces social media platform launch plan. Former President Donald Trump announced Wednesday he will be launching his very own media network. We kind of knew this was going to happen sooner or later, including a social media platform called Truth Social, in order to, quote unquote, stand up to the tyranny of big tech. The app appears to be the first project of the Trump Media and Technology Group, which will list on the NASDAQ through a merger with Digital World Acquisition Group. According to an announcement tweeted out by spokeswoman Liz Harrington, the transaction values TMTG up to about $1.7 billion, Harrington said. Well, we'll see. The new company, which lists Trump's private membership Club Mar-a-Lago as its address, will be chaired by the former president, who said that this group's mission is to create a rival to the liberal media consortium. Quote, we live in a world where the Taliban has a huge presence on Twitter, yet your favorite American president has been silenced, unquote, Trump claimed. That's classic Trump. Your favorite American president. The move doesn't come as a total surprise. Trump and his team of advisors have dropped hints for months that he might launch his own social media app to rival Facebook and Twitter. According to the press release, Truth Social is currently available for pre-order in the Apple App Store, and a beta version will be available to invited guests starting in November. A nationwide rollout is expected in the first quarter of 2022. Yesterday, I read another article that it already got hacked yesterday. Somebody went in there and put a pig face on something. He's going to have a hard time because I guarantee you the social media ogres don't want him in there. So maybe they'll have some people hacking away. There's going to be all kinds of people hacking away, try to stop that for obvious reasons. That's never going to change. As long as Donald Trump is walking the face of the earth, he's going to have some vehement opposition. So that'll be interesting to see. The company that he partnered with, it's interesting that their numbers kind of blew up. Their stock was way up. It was over 300, up over 300% the first day. Went up to a high of $175. It started Thursday morning at $12, and it went up to a high of $175. I checked it a little while ago. It was just trading at like around $89, $90 a share. So that's been a huge boom to them. We'll see if it actually comes through. But that'll be interesting to watch. I actually think it's been really good for Donald Trump to not be on Twitter. I think that's helped him. And because people needed a break. I think if he runs for president in 2024, cards on the table, I think he'll lose. I think that would be really bad for the conservative movement. I want Ron DeSantis to run. I don't want Donald Trump to run. Okay, there you go. So if you think I lost my salvation by saying that, you've got bigger issues than who the next president is going to be. Okay, let me share this story. This is a great North Carolina story. Also an Afghanistan story. By the way, in the hour and a half last night on the CNN town hall with President Biden and Anderson Cooper, the one topic that didn't get not one second of coverage was Afghanistan. How convenient. Okay, first in, last out, North Carolina community welcomes Afghan translator who served the 82nd Airborne. This is so cool. The 82nd Airborne's motto is first in, last out. They were the last soldiers to leave Afghanistan on the final military flight. And this week, one of their valued translators, Zabulia R., affectionately known by the troops as Johnny, arrived with his family at his new home in rural North Carolina. Quote, we'll do whatever we can to welcome them here and make them comfortable and make them feel like they are at home now, said Tracy Bird, one of several hundred neighbors, to line the roadway and welcome this Afghan family to Waxhaw County near Charlotte. This is the best of America going on right here. Right? This is the America I love. And probably you do too. Johnny, who served with the U.S. infantry units for more than 6 years, was rescued at the end of August by a U.S. senator, a private veterans group, and members of the 82nd Airborne, one of the last combat translators to make it out before the war's end. You notice who's missing from that list. Anybody in the Biden administration. As he exited the car, which drove him and his wife and three daughters from Fort Lee, Virginia, on the last part of his perilous journey that started in the chaos outside the Kabul airport, Johnny hugged Sergeant Mike Verardo, with whom he served in southern Afghanistan a decade ago. Quote, Mike and Johnny last saw each other in southern Afghanistan before Mike was put on a medical helicopter to evacuate because of his life-threatening injuries, Sarah Verardo, Mike's wife, explained. Sergeant Verardo was with the 2508 in Argandab when he was blown up by an IED in April of 2010. Johnny, the Afghan, was visibly moved when he saw the wounded paratrooper, who also suffers from a traumatic brain injury and has had more than 100 surgeries at Walter Reed Medical Center. Quote, he lost his leg. I'm so sorry for him, Johnny said, as he and his family were shown their new home. He did a great job for my country, for my people, also for his country. He came to Afghanistan to try to help the Afghan people. Their new home, get this, their new home was provided by a veteran and his wife, who bought a second home in North Carolina to be near her parents, who also served in the military. We looked at each other and said, you know, if we can do something, let's do it, Paul Cruz told Fox News. These people, like Johnny, have risked their lives with the American forces for many years, and we felt that we owed it to them to be able to at least help and get them off on the right foot as they make their way. The family also gave Johnny a car. Being a husband and a father, knowing that if it were me, I would just fear for my life. I would hope that someone would be able to help, said Cruz. We just happened to be in a place and a time where we were able to do that. Sarah Verardo, the CEO of the Independence Fund, helped form Save Our Allies with the Mighty Oaks Foundation when the Taliban took Kabul. To date, they have rescued 12,500 Afghans using private charter flights. Quote, we are going to weave these combat interpreters right into the fabric of the veterans community, Verardo said. Now this 82nd Airborne veteran's three young daughters will be neighbors with their father's Afghan translator's three daughters on a farm in North Carolina where, props to Senator Tom Tillis worked nonstop to get the U.S. government to rescue Johnny. Quote, it was late nights, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. We were uncertain if we are going to be successful, and I told Mike I wouldn't rest until I heard wheels up, Tom Tillis said as he welcomed Johnny and his family from Afghanistan as a band played God Bless America in the background. We took a lot of scissors to the red tape, he said, referring to the chaotic U.S. government evacuation efforts. Tillis, like many others on Capitol Hill, still has a list of, get this, 900 Afghan allies he's trying to evacuate. What a great story. And that's such an American story. And by the way, this is something that I touch on often, almost every week in my new U.S. history classes that I'm teaching to high school age homeschoolers. I teach 3 classes. I teach 7 classes total, in case you don't know about this aspect of my life. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I have 7 classes. I have 3 U.S. history classes. I have 2 Constitution Civics classes, and I have 2 Christian Ethics classes. And in the U.S. history classes, because it's definitely been hijacked from the left and turned around and changed, but the right does it too. It gets politicized. And again, like I mentioned earlier, if you're going to call yourself a Christian, if I'm going to call myself a Christian, our allegiance should be to the truth of a matter. So that's the good, the bad, and the ugly. There's some awesome things about American history. There's some horrendous things about American history. On the first day of class, I told all my students, because it's the first time since high school, and I'm 55. It's the first time since high school I've seriously studied U.S. history. And that's why I started my very first class with a quote from Solomon. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. We've been doing it to each other since we got kicked out of the garden. And what you see in U.S. history, the highs and the lows, you see in world history. Why? Because of human beings, human depravity and sin. But we stop every once in a while. I go, look at what these people accomplished. Look at the independence here. Set aside the Indian thing for a minute. Let's set aside slavery for a minute, because not all of them were killing Indians and not all of them had slaves. But look at the resilience. Look at the self-sacrifice. Look at the desire to just survive and provide for their families and to do the right thing. And so when you hear a story like this, first in, first out, this is what built America. And this is a part of who we used to be. And for some of us, and for some people in America, it still is. Love your neighbor. A Judeo-Christian ethic. Love your neighbor as yourself. Sacrifice, help, do something. So before you go to bed tonight, ask the Lord, what am I doing? What am I doing to love my neighbor as myself? It's plenty of opportunity for all of us. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
another program powered by the Truth Network.